Is the financial tail wagging the parenting dog in your home? Well, for most families, the answer is a hesitant yes. Now, we don't mean to keep up with the Joneses, but often we do. After all, we work together, go to church together, live in the same community, and are usually influenced by the same outside forces. It's no wonder, then, that we believe the same things about what it takes to make it, much less to get by. But are these beliefs true? Are we able to discern the differences between needs, wants, and desires, and therefore are we able to make the right choices? Now, this may all sound like a conversation about money, but in reality, it boils down to making the right choices with money to keep the family first. That's today on License to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to yet another edition of License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, it seems that we have come to a place in American culture where we don't feel like we can do without or even be without every little thing or every opportunity that comes our way. And I think the challenge is that we can't have or do everything or take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way. There simply isn't time. There isn't money. And even if we could, doing so probably wouldn't be in our best interest or in the best interest of our families and especially our children.
Yeah. Well, Rich, you know, we certainly are living in more and more of a me, in quotes, oriented society that today's adults are acting more and more like adult kids in an adult candy shop. We have so many options today, but when we pursue these many options, what do we really give up? I mean, we're giving up something. Since we don't have unlimited time and unlimited money, choices have to be made. And, you know, many of us with the best of intentions live our lives like the guy in the glass box you see on TV game shows. Money's blowing all around him.
I always wanted to be that guy,
yeah,
by the way.
His goal is to grab as much cash as he can before the time runs out. What no one takes into account is what would happen if someone opened the door of that glass box and handed him a hungry, crying baby who needed a diaper change. Right? I mean, we certainly need money, and when an abundance is within our grasp, as in the case of the guy in the box, we want to grab all we can. The challenge is that hungry, crying baby. It needs us more than we need in abundance, and so we're going to have to make a sacrifice to take care of that baby.
Yep.
The point I'm trying to make is that regardless of all the opportunities and options that life offers us today, we have to seriously consider the reality that parenting is going to require some sacrifice.
Yep.
And more than likely a greater sacrifice than many of us realize if we're going to raise kids the way God intends. And I know this may not be a popular thing to say and talk about on radio in our age of political correctness, but like root canal, it's sometimes necessary.
And I think one of the things that we'll point out in this program is we are all always making sacrifices. We are always making choices. The question is, what is it that's getting sacrificed,
right,
and for what purpose? Today, we have invited two parenting experts to join us. Now, each is a parent of five children, and several of those children have made it successfully to adulthood. In fact, I think all those who have actually made it to adulthood did so successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Also, each made career decisions that were very unpopular at the time, but that were made in the interest of family and children. In hindsight being 2020, we can say that in both cases, history has shown that those were the right decisions. With that said, I will draw back the curtain and reveal that today's guests are our own wives. Titus 2 speaks of older women in the church teaching younger women about their roles as wives and mothers, that the word of God may not be reviled. I think that speaks to the fact that there is great value in the voice of experience. And by the way, far be it from either of us to refer to our wives as old, but we will gladly refer to them as experienced mothers. And one specific thing that these two ladies have in common is that they both, at one point in their lives anyway, stepped out in faith and left the traditional workforce, at least for a season, to help raise and educate their children, our children. And that takes the kind of sacrifice that we're going to be talking about today.
Right. Well, indeed it does, Rich. Let me introduce to our audience my wife, Beth. She's the the mother of my five kids, our five kids. She runs Shepherd's Hill Academy. I mean, she runs it.
So all that we say about you every week is a bold-faced lie.
It's a bunch of garbage. I'm a token figure. If I croaked today, Shepherd's Hill would run just fine without me. She's the perfect helpmeet, extraordinaire, Proverbs 31 woman, and she exercises faith. I mean, to have me as a husband for 32 wonderful years, we've been married for 35 years, but 32 wonderful years. No, I'm kidding.
He'll be here all week.
I kid. No, she's just a tremendous lady, the consummate Proverbs 31 woman. I'm proud to have her here.
Well, Beth, welcome. Thank you for being
with
us. Thank
you. Thank you for having me.
And let me turn the spotlight on my wife. My wife is the lovely and talented Debbie Rozzle. After homeschooling our five kids, she is now tutoring students from middle school all the way to college. She's also assisting with a drama program at Heritage Academy, which is a private Christian school in Northeast Georgia. And she is the author of two books. One is called From Fortress to Freedom, published by Torchflame Books. And she's also written a book that I would tend to call a parenting book. It's a strange title for a parenting book. It's called The Mom's Guide to Surviving West Point, published by Light Messages Publishing. And perhaps tell you more about those later. But the thing is, again, in both cases, these things that my wife is now doing, she set aside for quite a while, except for the homeschooling part, and has blessed our family immensely and continues to bless me. And we just celebrated 30 years of marriage.
Awesome.
And I'm not going to do the separation of how many were good and how many were bad. Deb, thank you for being on the program.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, you'll get dinner tonight. ladies, welcome. Thanks for coming on this side of the microphone to be on our program.
Well, let me set the agenda for today's conversation. There is a common myth in America that says it takes two incomes to raise a family. A second myth, which I would say is even more dangerous, is that our provision comes from our work. And I say dangerous because as Christians, we're taught that God is our provision, but most of us don't seem to live like we believe that. And I can confess that there was a time not all that many years ago where I got confused about that role. And it took my wife to straighten me out on that. And it was the best thing she could have done, the best thing she could have said. So today, what I want us to do is do some myth busting, if you will. And we're going to talk about resetting our priorities and making the choices or sacrifices necessary to live by those priorities. And I hope that throughout our conversation, we can give some specific examples to our listeners so that you can see that this isn't just pie in the sky dreaming, but it's something that you can actually do yourself.
Amen. Well, in keeping with what you said, Rich, our culture has put such an emphasis on women working outside the home that it seems the norm today. Beth and Debbie, both of you were working outside the home when you were first married, but you made the choice to leave the workplace and come home. So tell us your stories. Deb, why don't you start?
Well, I actually made the decision to stay home with my children before I even had a fiance. I worked in a daycare during summers in college, and there were a few children who only came in one day or maybe 2 days a week. And without exception, those children were more secure. They were more polite. They were more cheerful. They seemed like there was something going on right with them.
You saw greater security in those kids.
Right. And that was at a time when, you know, daycare was really on the rise. Mm-hmm. And, the mom can do everything and the daycare will take care of all this, you know, other stuff. And I just saw that if you want to raise a healthy, secure child, you really need more than just that kind of group peer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rich and I married, we were both working, but I knew that when I had a child, that would become my primary, that would be my job. That would be the job that I would put, you know, before everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to be home full time to do that.
Now, you guys were believers before you were married.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that decision was made.
Well, but let me say, I had never even thought through that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wanted to marry this beautiful woman, and that was on my mind, and we had talked and thought, yeah, we'll have kids. But it was in that conversation that she said, and I really feel strongly about staying home with our children, at least for a season. Because, and she, you know, she told that story, and that was the first time I'd ever even considered that.
It, yeah.
It's like, because everybody around me, I saw both parents working, both of my parents worked. My mom did take time off from her job when I was young. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to school, I did go to the public school systems. That was back in the 60s. She went back to work part-time, but she made sure that she was back home when I got back home. So, you know, and again, we're telling you our stories. Different families approach this different ways and for different reasons. So we're not going to say this is the rubber stamp way everybody has to do it. We want you to see these are the paths that we took and how it works.
Plug it in how it fits.
Yeah. And Deb, I mean, there's more that we can talk about too, but I know Trace, you and Beth, you're venturing into Beth, you being a stay-at-home mom, didn't happen the same way because your kids were in school for a time anyway before you made that decision. What happened with you guys?
Well, when we were back in Indiana, I was a stay-at-home mom, and it wasn't until we moved to Georgia and we got into ministry, we bought what's now Shepherd's Hill, that we had to pay for it. And I went back to work at that
point. Funny thing, that.
Yeah, and we had three kids when we moved down here from Indiana. And we figured, you know, after we purchased Shepherd's Hill, what would become the what it is now.
With $200 and a handshake.
Yes, yes. I went ahead and went back to work. We thought, well, this will work out fine. I was working for the local Christian college, and it was going well until, you know, I got pregnant with my fourth, and we, you know, during that time, we just felt we need to bring me home. And that's, I came home from work, and I know Trace always tells the story. It was right after I came home that he got laid off.
Yeah.
And so it was a very interesting time. But, you know, it was rewarding in the fact that I did start to homeschool. Our kids weren't letting themselves in anymore. It was just something that, you know, even though you're involved in ministry and you think, well, this is where it's at, well, things kind of got hidden in the fact that we were too busy, and it did become all about ministry and less about family. And at that point, when I did come home, we started looking at it in the right ways again.
But the thing about that was, Rich, it made no sense. I mean, we were barely making it. With $200 and a handshake on a 60-acre farm, you're leveraged to the hilt. And so we had a big monthly payment to make. Her job had all the insurance. I had none. I took on a factory job when we first got. I didn't have a job when we moved into what's now known as Shepherd's Hill, and so it really made no sense on paper. And yet we felt strongly that the Lord said, you know, you're gonna have a family ministry eventually. You might start putting your money where your mouth is right now. And trust me. And we did. We brought her home, and it made no sense. And it was like the fish and the loaves. Things just worked out. I can't even explain how they did.
And, you know, it's crazy, but back when all that was going on, we thought, you know, this is terrible. I mean, we can't give our kids anything. We're eating beans. And, you know, we thought this is not where we want, you know, to have it for our kids. But one of my daughter, who's 29 now, who was probably about 6 or 7 at the time, one of her favorite stories is to tell us, when we used to go through the farm and collect the farm implements
out of the ground, to take them
to the local
recycling place to get melted down to eat.
Yeah. Exactly.
These, by the way, because Trace, you and I have talked about this story, and you can hear this if you want to hear the full story. You can listen to the Shepherd's Hill story at the Licensed Parent website. But these were farm implements left over from earlier farming days before you all had the property, stuff that you just dug up out of the ground.
Some of them from the late 1800s. We're talking old buggy wheels and things like that. There's a 29 Plymouth buried back in a ditch down the lower pasture.
Trace is hoping to restore that at some point.
But one of my daughter's favorite, she loves that story. She used to, like, we'd get in the truck together, we'd all go out as a family, we'd dig these things up, and she just thought it was great, not knowing that we're, like, kind of stressing. You know,
she didn't know we were poor.
No. And it was good times for them. I mean, they enjoyed that. They had us, me home, and, you know, working side by side together as a family.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to tell people, it's hard to counsel people when you said it was crazy. There was no way it could work. And when I quit my job, we both had fairly small incomes at that time.
We lost between a third and a half of our income when she quit.
But,
And that was from barely making ends meet to losing.
Well, that's just like us.
And we were paying down foolish debt at that time. And, you know, on paper, we were coming up $350 roughly short. If I quit my job, then $350 a month we needed that we had no way of knowing. And every single month, Rich got extra work of some sort, an extra production project or emceeing something that would pay that bill. We never were late on a bill.
And these are the kind of things you cannot calculate into the equation.
Right.
This is a,
right.
you know.
Well, and even more than that, some of the things you can calculate once you hear the rest of our conversation. There were also a lot of savings that we discovered that we never considered beforehand.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. What are some of those savings that take place because you don't have to have clothes and gas and car insurance and things that, you know, a second car to go to your job? Aren't there a lot of costs that maybe aren't calculated in the equation?
Well, certainly working in the nude was a big savings, but I'm not sure that's what you meant when you said no.
No, I was young. I needed the work.
You're listening to Licensed to Parent, the Wives Edition, as I'm calling it. We'll be back with more conversation in a moment. Remember, you can hear archives of all of our programs and find out more about the Ministry of Shepherd's Hill when you visit us online at licensedtoparent.org. Back in a moment.
The world of digital technology is always changing, and it's changing you if you're comfortable with technology or not. Your kids may take technology almost completely for granted and rarely notice its effects. On the other hand, you may adapt to technology more slowly, but are affected by the digital invasion just as much as your kids. In the book, The Digital Invasion, How Technology is Shaping You and Your Relationships, authors Dr. Archibald Hart and Sylvia Hart-Fried uncover the ways digital technology is changing us from within, physically, mentally, and especially spiritually, and offers therapeutic and biblical strategies to become good stewards of our digital lives. The Digital Invasion also includes 10 pages featuring Trace Embry of Shepherd's Hill Academy. Find The Digital Invasion in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds support the Shepherd's Hill Academy Student Scholarship Fund.
Hello, this is Dave Barton of Wall Builders. You know, history repeatedly validates the many benefits of an authentic biblical worldview. The Licensed to Parent radio broadcast helps restore that worldview back into the hearts and minds of today's parents, and Shepherd's Hill Academy successfully demonstrates that troubled teens and their parents can still experience the abundant life while being fully equipped to win back our culture to biblical truth. The Licensed to Parent broadcast teaches timeless biblical principles and answers that are lived out every day at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Both demonstrate that a biblical worldview provides guiding principles that work successfully every time they're applied.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit licensedtoparent.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent. Again, you'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org. And today we're doing what I'm loosely calling the Wives Program, which is also the Wise Program. Trace and I have brought our wives, Trace's wife Beth and my wife Debbie, into the studio today because in our cases, what we talk about frequently on Licensed to Parent is our own life experience in helping children grow up to be successful adults. That really is what the goal is. But obviously, Trace and I would be in no way equipped to do this were it not for great partners in this mission. And, you know, our wives have done the lion's share of the work in raising our kids. And we feel that they've got a lot more to offer to this conversation than we do. I know for me, my wife has always led in the faith area in our family, and there have been several times that, you know, she has said, "Where's your faith?" And as a matter of fact, some years back, the ministry that I worked for 17 years decided to lay off the entire broadcast team. In the 6 months leading up to that, I just told her that I felt very unsettled in my job and in everything that was going on. And I was wondering if I was supposed to leave, but if I leave, then what about this and what about this and what about this? And she said to me, put her on the spot.
Your job is not your provision. God provides for us.
Yeah.
But you can't see that until you take the step. It's like Abraham had to be willing
exactly.
to give up Isaac before he saw the ram in yep. the bushes.
Yep.
God doesn't show it to you ahead of time.
Yep.
Well, Matthew 6 talks about, it says, why worry, about tomorrow? Why worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear? And talks about God providing for the lilies of the field, providing for the birds. And, if he cares enough for them, certainly he cares enough for you. I'm sorry, that's the rich paraphrase, but it's true. And we so often think that we, mom and dad, are the provision for our families, as opposed to being but one conduit of provision that God chooses to mm-hmm. use. God can bless you by bringing in extra income at times, by providing through some unknown means. In one case, Deb and I were really hoping to get a dishwasher, but there was no way on the planet we could get one. Well, we got a call from Debbie's sister who said that her husband's brother had a dishwasher they were trying to get rid of. And all of a sudden, without even asking anyone, we had a dishwasher.
It was the kind that you hook up to the sink, those really old ones. Because we didn't have counter space to plug one in under. We didn't know how to do that. But we just literally got the dishwasher, put it in our kitchen, plugged it to the sink, and it was...
We had four of those that we plugged in our seat. Allison, Eamon, Andrew, and Alexa.
Ours were too small to reach the sink.
ours were a bit too young at that point. But again, that's one of those things. But the other thing that I mentioned was that there are surprise savings.
Sure.
And they're not really surprises if you think about it a lot, but most of us don't think about it that much. And the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that in America, most families have at least one car per licensed driver in the household. In other words, finding a one-car family is pretty rare. Debbie and I Right. have been one-car families a number of times. We do have two cars right now, but... for one reason, our financial situation is different and we can do it, but I will say our cars are very old. What has your experience been with vehicles? Do you guys go out and buy a new car every 3 years?
We haven't had a new car in 30 years.
Right.
But you worked, 14 miles at the college?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And at $3 a gallon or whatever gas was, that's a daily 28 30-mile round-trip ride every day, and insure the vehicle, fix it when it broke down. Tell us about your clothes that you had to buy for that job.
Well, I had to, work in an admissions office. You had to have a dress on or nice slacks, and so you had to have your clothes ready and, things like that, ready to go.
Makeup, shoes.
Mm-hmm. And some of those are probably dry clean clothes, too, mm-hmm. which living Absolutely. At home, you don't tend to dry clean your jeans and T-shirts.
Right. Yeah.
The costs are exorbitant. When you are both working, you as a family tend to eat out more. More often, right. there is eating out that takes place at the workplace.
Yeah, that's a big one. Here's another big cost. At Shepherd's Hill, it costs these parents $78,000 a year to keep their child in residential care. And if because our kids aren't getting the kind of care they need at home, there's those costs too. Education costs, things like that. I mean, advanced education, college... Kids used to be considered an asset, a financial asset, years ago.
Certainly in an agrarian society.
That's what I'm getting at. Whereas today, we look at them as liabilities, and they can be even assets in a non-agrarian society. I'm amazed at the number of people who don't allow their kids to participate in the upkeep of the home. I'm talking paint, repairs, all these things that kids can learn while mom's at home and dad's at home.
That's absolutely true. That's true. Let me talk about the education thing. Get us to talk about it, too. The other thing is, and this is going to have a lot of people going, can't believe he said that, but this belief that we as parents are responsible for providing a college education for mm-hmm. our children.
Right.
And
Show me chapter and verse on that one.
Well, Deb, I'd like you to speak to that because, you've been involved in education, and we were talking about this regarding the recent Democrat political
debate.
Where there was this whole mantra throughout the entire panel about how a college education should be free. But you've got some strong thoughts on college education.
Having been a
college-educated person yourself.
I think more specifically toward being a stay-at-home mom, we made the choice to have less income, but we never said we didn't have enough It's just we've chosen how to spend it.
Right.
And one of the choices we couldn't make was to pay for college. That's just, you know, way too expensive. We've had two graduates now, and one of them, it was like $35,000 a year just for tuition. Mm. And there's no way you can do that on one income, at least not an income that we could find.
And by the way, the college admissions people would always say, well, now normally the student takes out this loan and parents, you take out this loan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
With our oldest son, I had to say to the college admissions person, you are mistaken if you think that we, parents of five kids, are going to be taking out these sizable loans for each of our kids. Is not going to happen. Yeah. So what other options are there?
Yeah. Right. And so we actually, our oldest son went to West Point, which, you know, that's not an option for everyone, but it is a paid education if you can qualify and get in. Our second son got scholarship, athletic and academic. We kind of told him, you know, we fed you, but we can't pay for your college. Yeah. It's your job to pay for college.
Yeah.
Third son is still deciding what he wants to do because he doesn't want to spend the money until he's sure that college is right for him. Mm-hmm. And we're also open to the idea that maybe college isn't right for everyone.
I think more people need to be open to that. I think there's a lot of opportunity for kids in the trades today.
Ladies and Trace, we have barely scratched the surface on the program today, so this obviously is going to be at least a two-parter. May I count on you to stay in the studio long enough to do another program?
I think I can manage that.
Absolutely.
Now, this is stepping out for Beth, so we're going to hold you to that. Our guests today on Licensed to Parent have been our wives, the mothers of our children, our better halves, Trace's wife, Beth Embry. She's the co-founder of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and she handles admissions and event coordination for the ministry. My wife, Debbie Rosel, is a teacher and, as I mentioned, the author of two books, From Fortress to Freedom, published by Torch Flame Books, and The Mom's Guide to Surviving West Point. I'm calling it a parenting book, but it's as much her journey of our son's journey through West Point. That's published by Light Messages Publishing. Both of those, by the way, available from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and more information is available at DeborahRosel.com, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. Rosel, I've never had to spell my name before, but that's R-O-S-Z-E-L.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. You'll find more about us on our website at licensedtoparent.org. There you will also find our daily one-minute parenting features. You'll find books and DVDs that address many of the topics we cover on the Licensed to Parent broadcast. You'll also find a link to subscribe to Trace's blog and e-newsletter, Insight for Today's Culture, and we hope you'll sign up for that. And last but not least, you'll find archives of our past programs. As always, if you feel led to help us reach more families in crisis with this important message, we would greatly appreciate your help. You can donate securely online on our website by clicking the Donate button at the top of the page. And again, that address is licensedtoparent.org. Along with Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel. Thanks for joining us today, and please plan to be with us again next time to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.